Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Paranorm Girl Podcast presents Spectral Shorts, Volume 4. Do not whistle in the woods. If you hear your name called, no, you didn't. Do not stare into the trees. Ensure your curtains are drawn and your windows are shut when night falls. Might be a tall order if the heat is especially grueling. But we must follow the rules. The rules are there for a reason. We never know what might be lurking about. Best be sure, though. Something is. Welcome to our final installment of Paranorm Girl's summer mini-series, Spectral Shorts. I appreciate anyone who has followed along with the new limited format. And for any new listeners, I hope you equally enjoy the main program when the new season launches in just a couple of weeks. This mini-series has been a fun deviation for me to play around with. Always down to try new things on the show. Be sure you let me know if you would like to see more of these spectral shorts in the future. I will incorporate them moving forward. But back to what's lurking about out there. Appalachia has a long list of rules to abide by to keep oneself safe while living alongside or within its wilderness. I, for one, would just move. Don't need to tell me twice. If only the rest of the country followed such set precautions in the face of the unknown. Then again, most people aren't aware there may be a need to. Most people are caught off guard. The supernatural can enter our lives in an instant and disappear just as quickly. And can also take many forms in the process. Such as in our first story, told by Robert from Decatur, Indiana.
I'm Robert Johnston from Indiana, Decatur, Indiana. So my story took place there. And my brother and I were heading to a dress rehearsal for our father's second wedding. So we were running a little late, and it's out in the country where we live, so it was dirt roads a lot, you know, or, you know, a lot of fields and that sort of thing. In this case, it was towards the winter season, and they just had the fields tilled on each side of the road. Two-lane road, no real ditch that you could, like, fall off into, really, or hide behind. It was just going down. Well, I had this premonition that I had to tell my brother right then, no matter what happens in the next few minutes, don't turn. And so I told him, and within less than 5 minutes, my brother and I both saw a German Shepherd come from the left side. Understand, again, no, it's wide open and it's broad daylight. So it was pitch black, like a pure black German Shepherd, very, you know, both of us, that's all we both recognized it as, extremely furry. It came running up. My brother's instinct was, of course, to turn to the right to try to swerve, but he listened to what I had told him. So we felt the impact. He keeps driving. I look back to see if there's the body, and there's nothing. There's nothing. So we're like, we're not stopping. So we get to the church. We get out. We check the car. There's no damage and stuff. And I asked my brother. I said, I said, what was your instinct? And he goes, oh, I was going to swerve to the right. But I remembered what you said. And I said, had you done that, I'd have hit a telephone pole because you'd have went right into it and it would have hit right where I was sitting.
This story is a good reminder that our own instincts can be some of the best protection that we have and can mean the difference between an almost close call and conceivably certain death. Good on you for following your premonition, Robert. I'm so glad you were still here to tell of your encounter with what, by all appearances, seems to be a black dog encounter. The black dog, as a paranormal phenomenon, has history and numerous iterations. But a common aspect, in a mystical sense, is its connection to death, with many people reporting the vision just prior to their own. I spoke with Robert following our recording, and I asked him what he thought it was. He wasn't exactly sure, but he surmised it could have been demonic in nature. We must always be careful when considering a possible, actual, living animal when it comes to superstition. But then, there was no evidence whatsoever following the encounter that anything was there to begin with. Whatever it was, you know what I find to be the creepiest part of his tale? Did you hear the dog barking in the background? Sounded big. I do not recall hearing it at the time of our recording. So to Robert, I would say, stay safe out there. I hope you continue to follow your instincts, and that they continue to keep you from harm's way. And congratulations on winning the storyteller raffle. I hope you've gotten a lot of use out of the hat. Our next and final entry brings a smile to my face every time I re-listen to it. It's not that his experiences are not exceptionally spooky or mysterious, but in short, he has such stage presence. In fact, you may recognize him from one of the most popular episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, or the comedy world as a longtime comedian, or the numerous appearances in film and television, attending the Paracon as another member of the Bisbee Ghost App team. Please welcome to the show our final storyteller, Joey Gaynor.
Yes, Joey Gaynor, comedian, actor, and I'm also selling Amway for those of you who want to make a lot of money fast and then leave your family. So, yes, what would you like? Which ghost story that's happened to me would you like to hear? God almighty.
Oh, boy. How much time do you have? Because I'm thoroughly enjoying this already.
About, I don't know. I got a day. How many days are we hanging around here? You know, the ghost story that at the Comedy Store, I had a lot of encounters. The one that was most notable was, and on Unsolved Mysteries, we reenacted it. I was shutting off the lights one night, and it was about 2:30, quarter to 3 in the morning, and I went into the main room, which is the big room, seats about 400 people at the Comedy Store. And I went in because the breaker lights to shut off all the outside lights was on the wall right behind the curtain. So all you had to do was reach behind the curtain and hit the switches. So I walk into the main room, and I go up onto the stage, reach behind the curtains, hit the switches. That took all of about 5 seconds. I turned around, and all of the chairs, majority of the chairs, were stacked to the ceiling. And it happened to other people, too. But I remember when that happened, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And no, really. And yeah, no, it was quite... And another night, Blake Clark, comedian and friend of mine, he's been in a lot of Adam Sandler films and everything. We were reenacting our endeavors there, and we were down in the basement, and Blake's a Vietnam veteran, and we're down in the basement, and Blake says, because we heard that things happened in the basement, allegedly at the Comedy Store, which was Ciro's in the 30s and 40s. The owner, Frank Settis, had a nurse, a retired nurse on staff in the basement with a certain room set up, because if a mobster or celebrity got one of the dance girls, the showgirls, in trouble, they could rectify it down there. So apparently that's what was going on. So anyway, I'm there. Blake and I one night are down in the basement, and we're just like, you know, who are you? What do you want? And there's name plaques with comedians' names on them that they use at the store and down in the La Jolla store. They put them. They could switch the name plaques on the sign, and his name plaque just lifted up, fell on the floor face down. He picked it up. It was him. It was his name. And then I saw. And he saw something very dark rise up out of the floor, and it just got bigger and darker. And I put my hands out, palms out, and they got fire hot. And we ran out of there. And that's just some of the stuff that's happened at the Comedy Store. And the thing that a few years later, one of the things that happened to me personally was when my mom was dying of cancer. On Sunday, the day before she died, we were sitting in the living room because she was in hospice, and my brother was in the kitchen. And all of a sudden, my mom, God bless her, who hadn't spoken Italian in years, looks up and starts speaking in Italian to somebody in the room. I can't see anybody. And she turns to me and says, "Don't you say hello to your grandmother? What's the matter with you? Your grandmother's here, and you can't." And she says something to my grandmother like, "This guy's stu not, hey." My grandmother died 8 years before I was ever born. So I said, "No problem, Ma. Yeah, hi, Grandma," you know, and I go along with it. And then my mom is like trying to open something. It's like pantomiming opening something. And she goes, "Open this purse. I can't get the zipper to open." And there's nothing there, but I pantomime opening the purse. Okay, you know, maybe she's hallucinating. And she takes it, and she's like reaching in. And she says, and this is all in Italian, but she reaches out, and she goes, "Okay, here you go. You can go now. It's all good. You got that. All right, I'll see you." And she goes, "Say goodbye to your grandmother. What's the matter with you?" And I went, "Oh, okay, Grandma. Ciao, bello," you know. So that happens. And she takes this invisible bag or whatever it is and puts it next to her. Now, my mom passed away the next day. And about 3 weeks later, I was in New Jersey, because that's where we're from originally. And I'm sitting with my Aunt Vera, her sister, because they were a big Italian family, I think 7 or 8 sisters. And I'm sitting with her, and she says to me, "What day did your mom pass away?" I said, "Monday." She goes, "Gee, I had the strangest dream the Thursday night before your mother passed away." I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah." Now, she didn't know about anything that I just told you. And she said, "Yeah, I dreamt I was walking down Colden Street, which is a street in Newark, New Jersey, where we all, even when I was a little kid, I lived on that when I was a baby. And she said, "I saw your grandmother, my mother," and I said, "Where are you going, Ma?" She says, "I got to go see Helen and get the money." And I said, And I said to her in the dream, she doesn't have any money. And your grandmother said, "Oof, ah," and waved me off and went, "You don't know. You don't understand. I got to go. I got to go." And I woke up. And then I told her, I said, "You had that dream on a Thursday." She goes, "Yeah." And then I told her what happened on a Sunday. And we both sat there like an old E.F. Hutton commercial with our jaws open. Because, see, things like that are not coincidental. Things like that, they don't happen. It's not figments of our imagination or whatever. It's real. And it's you know, there's another world there, man. You know, you could say there ain't. And, you know, you really don't know. We don't know exactly. I mean, we all believe in a heaven or a hell, whatever. But we don't really know. But, you know, look, my father died when I was 8. And I'd walk through the living room. We had one of those old doors with the 3 square windows in it. Mm-hmm. You remember those? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes I'd walk by and out of corner of my eye, I'd see him looking through the window. And then years later, I'm talking to my niece, and she was a little kid when she'd come, and she said to me, because I was, this was again back east, this was 1995 when I was back there when my mom passed away. We went back because we buried her there. And my niece says to me, "Hey, who was the old man that used to look through the window when I was a little kid? I'd see this man with the glasses looking through the window." And I sat back and went, "Oh my God, you saw it too? That was your grandfather." So it's yeah, you can't, you know, you can't, the other thing I'll leave you with, it's like in Italian culture, there's a thing called the eyes. It's a prayer. And if you have a bad headache, you call your aunt or whoever does that prayer, they absorb the headache. And then they call you back and say, "Okay, go wash your face. Your headache's gone." But they're miserable for a couple hours. And I saw my Aunt Rose do that on the phone. She'd be talking to somebody and go, "Okay, go wash your face. I got to go lay down now." And she'd go lay down. And she'd have a splitting headache after she was. And all of this stuff is real. You can't, you know, regardless. But anyway, I thought I'd share with you. We are on the Paranormal Girl. Don't forget to tune in every weekday, Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day. You can get the Paranormal Girl. And this is Joey Gaynor. I'll be signing pictures over there if anybody has $10. All right.
Thank you.
That's right. Live in the Belly Room every Sunday night for the next 27 years.
What incredible stories. What an incredible storyteller. Joey, I 100% agree with you that there are just some things that cannot simply be coincidence. It's experiences like yours and many of the voices over the course of the summer series. And speaking from personal experience, there's a tipping point where an occurrence goes beyond the scope of chance and coincidence. When this happens, this in itself is considerable proof. I'd like to mention also, as a kid, I remember watching your episode on Unsolved Mysteries. If folks listening have never seen it, it's from Season 8, Episode 12. It can still be found online in its entirety, and I can't recommend enough that people promptly find and watch it. It's especially spooky. I lived in Hollywood for a decade and ventured down to the Comedy Store myself more times than I can count. With as much history as flows through the veins of the entire area, this location is rife with ghosts. And it's clear to see, the Comedy Store's entities are more than the result of mere coincidence and imagination, when you consider the hundreds of other encounters reported here over the decades. I would like to thank all of you for joining me for this limited series. Be on the lookout in just under 2 weeks for the Season 7 premiere and intro to the new topic, Ghosts and Hauntings, airing on all platforms September 3rd. Also be sure to catch the latest Beer, Booze, and Boogeymen livestream on September 7th. Links to view the episode and call into the show can be found in the show notes. But in the meantime, follow the show on social at ParanormGirlPod. Message me at ParanormGirlPod@gmail.com. And as always, stay safe, keep the nightlight on, and sleep with one eye open.